our spiritual charge. We are here the first Sunday in the year 2018. Wow, did they not go by fast? One after another, like lightning. So each year that as we go into it, though, it's a new opportunity to contemplate and to consider and to refocus. And this morning, what I want to do is take you to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. And I want you to hear this charge that is given. And I want you to see how it applies to all of us as believers. We need to be people who are about the Master's business. So as I read to you verses 15 down through 20, I want you to really hone in on verses 18 and 19. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to read down 15 through 20. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So what you find in this text is the Apostle Paul reflecting on his personal salvation, how that God took him from being a persecutor and a killer of Christians, converted him through salvation, and made him an apostle, a man preaching the gospel. The chiefest of sinners to really, at that time, the chiefest of the apostles. Then he comes down to Timothy and he says to him, Timothy, I have a charge for you. I have a commission for you. I have a command for you. That you would go forth and fight. Be faithful in your spiritual fight. That you would war a good warfare. Holding your faith and holding a good conscience. Those things are just as applicable to you and I. As we go into this year 2018, we ourselves also need to war a good warfare. He's not calling us to take up arms. He's not asking us to become militant. What he's asking us to do is to look at our faith and understand that it is a life-changing faith. It changes us from the chiefest of sinners to the most faithful of servants. And we need to pick up that banner and we need to march forward and bring forth to the world a message so powerful that it can transform lives as well as eternities. That's what a good warfare is. But he doesn't leave it there. He talks to him about holding his faith. He talks to him about maintaining a good conscience. And those things are all valuable commodities in our lives today. But let's just take a moment and let's consider this idea of warring a good warfare. It's interesting when you look at the structure of the language, he uses both a noun and a verb, yet to describe the same thing. When he uses the word war here, he uses in the Greek a verb, an action word. He wants him to understand this is an active thing I'm engaging you in. It's like Justice wanting to go and work with this missionary team. She could have done that by staying at home and reading all about it and communicating with the missions board and writing to other kids who are going. And she could have done all that and never gotten actively involved. But she moved it from an idea to an action. And she's going to go and war that warfare. She's going to actively, as an action, get involved and do it. There's so many folks in this world who talk about doing so many things that they never do. And God says to you and I about our faith, we need to be doers of the fight that lays ahead of us. It's like Fonda talking about the pregnancy care center. Here they are trying to minister to young people in their community. They're not trying to strong arm them into becoming anything other than who they are, but to help them through the time they're in and point them to a place of faith and hope and strength. But there's a warfare going on, isn't there? A warfare against things of faith. And so Fonda chose to stand up. Her co-leader at the pregnancy care center decided to, yes, I'm going to war a good warfare. I'm going to be involved. I'm going to take that action word, and I'm going to do my part. And so here we find Paul saying to all of us, we need to war. We need to actively get involved in the battle for our faith. But then he uses a noun, which is very interesting, because he says war, a warfare. Now, when I think of the word warfare, I think of an action word. But in the Greek, it's actually a noun. He's saying we need to actively war, a warfare being an entity. He's saying, I want you to partner with all of those around you, and you become an entity. You become a person, place, or thing. So you're going to actively war together as a warfare. So what he's doing is he's drawing in all of us and making us a part of the structure of this sentence. He's saying what we do individually, we connect and do together. Again, like justice. She wants to go do this 6-month missions endeavor. So we as a church, we put it out and say, hey, why don't we all partner with her to make it happen? Or like Fonda with the Pregnancy Care Center. Listen, she's going to fight a good fight, but we need to partner in there, and we need to be part of that army, that part of that group, that we might do this together. You and I, on our jobs and in our community, we are not alone. We are part of a family. We are part of that army of faith. And so as each of us actively get involved, we bring with us a whole army of prayer warriors, encouragers, those who would put their arm about our shoulder and say, keep up the good work. I look over at Linda LaRocque as she's the principal of the Christian school down here at the bottom of the hill. So every week she has to fight a good fight. She's got to war the warfare, but she's not by herself. She has a church praying for her. She has a staff praying for her. And we should be partnering with them to see that happen. You should be a champion of prayer and encouragement for each of these people who are warring this warfare. So he tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, I've got a charge for you. You need to be actively involved and connected to a body as we all serve God together. This morning, as we each got up, and maybe you looked at your outdoor thermometer or whatever, and you saw 20 below zero, you know, it would have been very easy for you to decide, well, let's stay in where it's warm. But you're part of a faith community. You're part of an army of faith believers. And you know what? Probably this morning, there were some who came, and maybe they were a little discouraged. Maybe they were struggling. And they're encouraged by your presence. You know, maybe they had to go out and their car wouldn't start. And they had to jump start it. They had to do this and they had to do that just to get here. And they're thinking, I'm going to be the only idiot who shows up this morning. And they come and they say, no, what? I'm part of an army. I'm part of an assembly. I'm part of a body. I'm part of a person, place, or thing. I'm part of that noun that is that warfare that he's talking about in the Greek. And we're all going to war. We're going to work together to spread the gospel. And we're not going to let a minus 20, 25 degrees hold us back. Amen? Amen. I was talking to Gene Fairbrother this morning, and he was fondly reminiscing when he was a boy and him and his uncle went out to log up in the mountains with a horse, and he said it was minus 40 degrees. Minus 40 degrees. What a bunch of wimps we are. I mean, these are guys out there with a horse pulling lumber out of the mountain, minus 40. We got to toughen up, don't we? So you find God giving him a charge. He's saying to him through the Apostle Paul, Timothy, there's so much we need to do for the glory of God. And we need to get involved and make it happen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love my appearing. So here's the Apostle Paul at the end of his life writing this. He's saying, I have fought a good fight. Timothy, I'm telling you, you need to fight your warfare, but I'm telling you, I have fought a good fight. And God has reserved for me a reward, not just for me, but for all of those who will be part of that army. Every one of us. So as he gives us this challenge going into 2018, we have to say to ourselves, you know what? I need to be motivated. I can't be passive. I can't be just sitting back. I can't be just waiting for somebody to come up and say, would you share your faith with me? No, I need to be sharing my faith with others. They need to see it actively involved in my life. They need to hear it as I share it and talk about it and spread it, because others need the same hope. As we come down in our text there in 1 Timothy chapter 1, we look down at verse 19, and he shifts a little from talking to him about fighting this good warfare. But he comes down and he says to him in verse 19, holding faith. Holding faith. He says, I want you to understand that you need to hold strong your faith. You see, if we're not careful, we can become discouraged. We become weary. We become distracted or self-centered. And before long, the devil wears us down. He chips away, chips away, chips away. And we begin to fall away from our faithfulness, our consistency, our warring the warfare, our part of spreading the gospel. And so he tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, you need to hold strong your faith. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Just a couple books before 1 Timothy, you have 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1. Look with me at verses 3 down through 5. I want you to listen to what he says. He says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory of you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Here the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the church in Thessalonica, as God empowers him and inspires him to pen these words, he says, I want to talk to you about what I'm talking to Timothy about. I want to talk to you about faith. He says, we rejoice in your faith. But not just your faith. He goes on and he gives to us a trinity of power. He says, your faith, your love, and your patience. He says, we're rejoicing in that about you. We're rejoicing that your church in Thessalonica is known for its faith, its love, its patience. And I ask you this morning, what are we known for? In our community, what are we known for? You live in the community. You live next door to people. You work with people. You're out and about. You rub shoulders. What are we known for? Because there's no doubt in my mind we have a reputation. We as a church, I know that our preschool, kindergarten, I have people tell me all the time, man, I'll tell you, that ARC is great. My grandkids, my nieces, my nephews, whatever, they've gone there, and it's so great. But our church also has a reputation. Now, people always say good things to me because I'm the pastor of the church. They'll tell me, boy, yeah, I've heard about your church. You're so involved. You're so supportive. You're encouraging. You're ministering. Here the other day, I got an email from the chaplain at the hospital, and he says to me, he says, I was talking to a lady in a room, and she mentioned that many years ago, she used to go to the church there, and he said, I told her, I think they would still come and pray with you. And I emailed him back, and I said, of course we'll have somebody come and pray with her, of course. And so I know Paul was at work, so I either texted him, I might have done it all, text, called, emailed, I don't know. Yeah, smoke, it was smoke that got him. So I sent out a signal, I said, Paul, today, before you leave work, swing by such and such a room and just have prayer with this lady. You see, the chaplain knows we are going to do our dead level best to go by and pray with this person. That's our reputation. So here he's telling the church in Thessalonica, he says, I want you to understand, you have a reputation, and we share it with others, that you are a people of faith, a people of love, and a people of patience. But the really interesting thing he says to him is, he says, it's all based on a time of tribulation. Look at what he goes on to say there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look down with me at verse 5 again. No, verse 4. He says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. You know, as we go into the year 2018, we all will see some tough times. They will happen. We'll have some great times, but there'll be some tough times. It's inevitable. Somebody gets sick, somebody gets hurt, somebody's job is lost. There's a million things that happen in life, amen? It might have been this morning your car didn't start. I don't know, you know. There's always some little trial that comes into life. But he says to the church in Thessalonica, he says, your reputation is that in the midst of persecution and tribulation, you are a people of faith, love, and patience. What a charge. What a reminder of who we should be. That even in the midst of difficult times, our faith rises up. Our love one for another rises up. And our patience as we wait on the Lord rises up. And this trinity of power takes us through life as we carry our faith, our love, our patience, daily into the world we live in, making a difference for the cause of Christ. So when we see Paul say to Timothy, hold your faith, and it ties to that trinity of strength, faith, love, and patience, we understand that this is not inaccessible for us. This is for all of us. It's not like he's talking to some giant, some amazing superhero. He's just talking to a regular guy, just like you and I. Regular folk who are taking our faith and living it day by day, holding our faith. But then he gives Timothy a third challenge. He says, war a good warfare. Hold your faith and hold a good conscience. This right here is a word that should make us all step back. This morning in the Bible Hour, the 9:45 Bible study, we were talking about different things going on, and a political thing came up. One of the things was mentioned about a campaign promise that our governor had made concerning vetoing the legalization of marijuana in the state of Vermont. And one of the other guys said, no, he's kind of backed off from that, and he says he won't veto if it goes through the way it's written right now, which I can't comprehend. I think we have enough problems in our society without legalizing more substances that mess up people's lives. So I am not in favor of this, and wherever you are on it, so be it. But I don't think God needs us all to be drunk and high. He would like us to be straight and clear, sober. But anyways, as we were talking through this in our class, this gentleman raised his hand and he said, well, no, they're saying they're not going to veto it. And somebody else said, no, that was a campaign promise. And all of us kind of do that very little snicker we just heard. Like, yeah, what does a campaign promise mean? But see, for most of us, our good conscience, if we promise something, we as a Christian should do our dead level best to make sure it happens. Amen? And both small and big things. You know, if you're a single dad or a single mom and something horrible's happened in your life and your marriage has come apart and you're raising the kids, and or you're the spouse who says, I'll come by on such and such a weekend, if you make that promise, you need to come through. Fulfill the promises you make. Those little kids remember when those promises are broken, and it hurts. Whether in small things or big things, we should live a life that's of good conscience. That's what he says to Timothy. He tells him, he says, listen, I need you to be sure that you commit yourself to a good conscience, maintaining that place of truth and sincerity in your life. Listen again to what he says in verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made a shipwreck. We should hear that as a real warning. If I can abandon my good conscience, how close am I to shipwrecking my faith? If I'm willing to lay my good conscience aside, how close am I to laying aside all the values that I hold dear in my faith? He's tying these things together for us to understand that as we move forward in our Christian faith, we do so with integrity and purpose. We should be warring a good warfare. We should not be just letting everything pass us in life. We should be sharing our faith with a lost and dying world. And we should be holding on to our faith. That's part of fighting the good fight of faith, is holding on and being true to who we are. And we need to hold a good conscience. Romans chapter 9, verse 1 says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, that which I write you, I absolutely am telling you the truth, and I lie not, and I bear that to my conscience before the Holy Spirit. Wow. That's really putting it on the line, isn't it? I bear my reputation before the Spirit of God that my conscience is clear. That's powerful. I want you to see one other verse, 1 Peter chapter 3. And here we find him also talking about this reputation of bearing a good conscience in our lives. And you and I as Christians, we need to take it to the deepest point of sincerity, understanding that absolutely, while we war a good warfare of faith, we hold on to our faith in good conscience, living our life before God. Listen to what he says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 down through 18. having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. So he's presenting to us a situation. He's saying, you and I as believers, he's saying there's always people who make accusation. There's always people who make up things. It just happens, like Fonda said. There are people who, when they look at a Christian, they come up with all kinds of bizarre and crazy things. But Paul says, in a good conscience, it should be that we live our lives so that they are shown to be false. That they're lying. That they're making it up. And you say, well, who would ever make stuff up? People make stuff up. Why? I do not know. I'm always shocked when I hear made up stuff. But it happens. Our job is in a good conscience to be sure that what is said can be shown to be false. Even if it's only by our lifestyle. Even if you can't go back in time and say, see here, that's a lie. It should be that you can see all this. When I look at all that, I think that person's lying. Because all this track record shows that in a good conscience we have lived our lives. That is important to us in faith. That is important to us in our warfare that we do together. So as we look at this text, and the apostle challenges Timothy, charges him concerning his Christian walk, I charge you this morning, and I charge me, that as we go into 2018, each of us need to take this charge given to Timothy, and we need to bring it and adopt it and make it a part of us, because we are part of that army. We are part of that faith family. You and I, we come together because God has added us one to another. And you and I together need to war a good warfare. Holding our faith strong and living a life in good conscience. Let's bow our heads. And as our head is bowed and as we look in our hearts this morning, I simply ask you, where are you in your Christian walk? Now, what Paul told Timothy and what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and what Paul shared throughout the other texts, as God inspired him, he was drawing from his personal life experience. And he's saying, I have done this. Are we? Are we? And if we haven't, then are we going to begin to? Father in heaven, as we go into this invitation time, Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to move and work in our midst. For Lord, only you know our hearts. Ourselves and you, we know what's going on in our lives. We know whether we're involved in the war or whether we're just sitting on the sidelines. We know whether we're holding strong to our faith and whether we're living a life of good conscience. Father, I pray that you help us to see ourselves as you see us. That this morning, during this invitation time, whether we do it right where we're standing or we come to this altar, Lord, that we would let you have your way. As we go into this new year, a new beginning, a new start, following the charge you've given us, Lord. We pray for your Holy Spirit to work. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. And as we sing these verses of